Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Back Home with Hawksby and Jacobs, our World Cup podcast. Mm. Well, as you probably gathered, we were back in the TalkSport studios today. We will be tomorrow, Thursday as well, and back to podcast only on Friday, the first day of the quarterfinals. But today we chatted to Ben Littleton, who's the author of 12 Yards, the definitive work on penalty kicks in football.
He had interesting stuff to talk about.
Some very interesting stats. We looked at why the penalty shootouts and just general penalty taking has not been going too well so far. We're also joined by Luke Kempner, who is an impressionist, comedian, big Arsenal fan. He'd been working on some impressions.
Yeah, some World Cup impressions.
Very good. Yeah. Very good stuff. Very good. So you'll hear from Luke. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we? Through the stories.
Yeah, we did.
Covered some ground as always.
Talked about Chesney Hawks.
Well, of course, you can't not talk about Chesney Hawks in this World Cup, in this FIFA World Cup. So here it all is.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And Gianni Infantino, with his usual massive lack of self-awareness, has said the group stage was the best one ever. Brilliant. That's why it's a good time to change it and ruin it all. Well done, mate.
Well, I think they're actually thinking about moving it back to what this is at the moment.
Well,
I mean,
they
should. Yeah. I mean, the group stage has been long because we've had a just about manageable amount of teams, which is going to be different next time. Yeah, I said good afternoon, Andy, and I've been doing a podcast we've been recording with Andy, of course, at 9 o'clock every night.
So,
to every guest, I've said
good afternoon.
I've said good afternoon.
It's brilliant.
So at least I'm getting that right now. So, Andy, what about the games last night?
Well,
I mean, we kind of had a bit of a correspondence during Spain-Morocco. Not the most exciting of games. I mean, great if you're a Moroccan fan, but not the most exciting of matches, thanks to the Spanish, weren't they?
I agree, but I've never seen a more differing take on a game because, I mean, even Danny Kelly and Danny Baker are two big mates. They diametrically opposed views. Danny Kelly said, this is a game for the ages. Danny Baker, like us, thought it was an absolute dog. You know? So it's really incredible. It's a really amazing. One reporter said, best game of the tournament. I just couldn't
really
see it at
one
all.
For the purists, I would say.
And at one point, was it, John Hartson said, that's been outstanding defensively, Morocco. I was thinking, yeah, that's what I want from a knockout game of football. Outstanding defensively. I mean, they were, but you know.
The one thing I took away from it was in the commentary was Llorente has a dog named Anfield.
Really?
That's the thing that snapped out. If he's issuing a come and get me plea to Liverpool, I don't really know.
That's interesting. Ziyech actually jumped for a header. I've never seen him do that in a blue shirt.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
I was just surprised that all the actual Spain penalty takers took a shot and didn't try and square it to someone else.
It's so true.
That was the biggest shock of all.
It was. And in the other game, it was great to see the acting skills of that legendary thespian, Pepe. He's brilliant, isn't he? He has many disciples like Richarlison, basically scream, roll, play dead. That's how it goes.
Yeah, there was some fantastic screaming, wasn't there, in the game last night. I don't know if you also noticed that the Moroccan fans, I mean, they didn't need a lot of encouragement because they made an awful lot of noise, but there was a leader who was facing them, the kind of James Last of...
who just Dave Arch, I like to think.
Dave Arch for the modern band leader from Strictly. But was effectively just looking at the crowd all the time and orchestrating what they did. To the point where he would look over his shoulder. They showed it. And when Spain had the ball, he'd put four fingers in his mouth as if doing a kind of whistle. Yeah. So to say, this is the point, guys, where we all have to whistle. Then when we get the ball back, we'll start this particular chant. I mean, it was really, really choreographed.
It's absolutely brilliant.
What a noise they made.
And in the Switzerland game, Switzerland were poor, weren't they? Portugal were wonderful. I mean, that to me is the performance of the tournament. But Haris Seferovic, who came on, I've always wanted to invite him to Cheltenham so I can ask him, are you wearing tweed, Haris? Or go on a forestry course with him and saying, have you got a chopper, Haris?
Well, blimey, okay.
Is your jacket a bomber, Haris? I told you I was bored with the game.
Well, if you're called Haris and you've got any more derivations for Andy, then feel free, talksport.com, text 81089. Tweet TSH and J. Things happened while we were away. Apparently at the Chisora Fury fight the other night, they were selling half and half scarves.
Oh, God.
Who'd buy a Chisora Fury half and half scarf, really? I mean, I don't really see the point of that.
60,000 people did, so there you go.
I also noticed, Andy, that at the weekend, because football's been continuing, of course, beyond the championship. We've even had a couple of championship games. MK Dons Burton was played.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh McEachran, your former midfielder, England and Chelsea midfielder, was playing for MK Dons. And I thought, about 6 or 7 years ago, when people were putting together their England squads for 2022, he probably would have been in there, wouldn't he?
He probably would have been, yeah, no, absolutely.
Fickle finger of footballing fate, that is, isn't it?
I don't know if you saw the Dutch royal family are more split over the forthcoming match against Argentina than ours is with Meghan and Harry. Because the Queen was born in Argentina.
Yes.
So that's
incredible. Yeah, but she says she's going to be right behind the Dutch. Yeah, we are going to be in the Dutch camp a little bit later on. Louis van Gaal has just been going to war with the Dutch press throughout, hasn't he?
He's got some mad ideas.
He said to him a few times, well, look, if you're bored by the way we're playing, just go home.
He said he spotted a flaw in the way that Argentina play, and i.e. that Messi doesn't actually do a lot apart from when he's got the ball.
Yeah.
And you don't say. I mean, I worked it out. I could mark Messi for 85% of the game, but that's not really the point.
That's true. So we'll be having a look about. Do you want the niche? The niche observation, one for the teenagers, all in one.
Yes, please.
This is, I don't expect everybody to get this, but I thought the goalkeeper, Bono, for Morocco yesterday, looked like the folk music legend Jake Thackeray.
Really?
And I was hoping at one point he'd get injured, so he'd have to go over the touchline so he could come on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on again, on. There we are. For the 10 of you that got it, thank you very much.
I always think of Sister Josephine for some reason.
Okay.
I tell you what, I reckon the shrinking injury time at the World Cup is down to commercial TV companies saying, look, can you stop having 11 minutes injury time because we know where to put our breaks and we've scheduled them and it's a disaster. Because yesterday was only 4 minutes and that included four goals in the second half, subs, injuries. Where did they only get 4 minutes from? So
yes.
So obviously they scaled that back. That didn't
No, they have definitely stepped back from all of that, haven't they?
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
We've all been watching this World Cup through our domestic prism, our own club, making sure all our boys come back fit and well. My lot have seen Rodrigo Bentancur get an abductor injury that means he's probably going to be out for a month.
Oh, really?
He was going to miss Boxing Day anyway because he's had five bookings, but he'll miss a couple of games. But really, not half as bad as the Arsenal fans have had it with Gabriel Jesus. 3 months out, pictures of him.
Yeah, it's a big blow for them because he's been
and obviously a huge blow for him, not just for the World Cup, but that was incredibly bad luck from his point of view. A dagger to the heart, almost certainly, of our next guest, comedian, impressionist and big Arsenal fan, Luke Kempner. Hi, Luke.
Oh, hello, boys. How are we? Merry Christmas.
It does seem that's the one big standout injury at the moment, isn't it, from a kind of Premier League point of view?
Oh, infuriating. Also, he wasn't even starting. He just played, you know, he only played that the game against Cameroon when they didn't even need to win, and he goes and gets, it's like the worst thing that could have happened. He's so infuriating. And now you're sort of looking at Eddie Nketiah, Eddie Kruger. Let's hope he can, you know, fill in the blanks there. But, you know, maybe that means they're going to force the hand. One thing I would say is I think it's good it happened now and not a week into the restart of the season. That is the only positive way I can look at it. But yeah. I'm gutted for him as well. As you say, like, you know, Brazil could go and win this World Cup, and like, he's not going to be there. And I just, and obviously Arsenal are going to win the league, and you know, he might not be part of that. So, you know, I feel for the lad.
No, yeah, I think you're right.
They've got a chance to, you know, do something in the transfer window, which I think they probably will.
Do you think they will for a short term? Mm. I mean,
yeah, I think they were thinking of it anyway. So,
well, a striker? Were they looking at another striker?
I mean, that's who I'd like. That lovely Ramos from last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His buyout clause just went up quite a bit, I think.
Well, I 200 million, lovely. Come on.
I did see a tweet. Who sent it out? Simon Peach from the bank, from PA. Simon said, Southampton tried to sign Gakpo and Gonçalo Ramos in the summer. I think they're not in the running anymore. Imagine if they'd managed to get them at that time. Look, it was only
But it's exciting though, isn't it? You know, that's what I love about the World Cup. You know, like, you know, I go back to sort of like, you know, 2002, and you know, El Hadj Diouf scored, and it was something like, oh, we got to get this lad. He looks great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and I thought we wouldn't get that anymore with the World Cup, because you sort of know about every player from whether it's FIFA or whether you've just seen a YouTube show reel of them. But you do. It's like Ramos last night. I was watching it going, well, we've got to get this guy in. I mean, he's the only player that we can possibly get. He's the only one that can fill in the gap. And I do love that about a World Cup, and I don't think you get that with the Euros. So it's, oh, I'm loving it. I've been loving it.
Yeah, you always get that. You're right, Lee, where you want a player, you think, well, I've got to buy him, and then he turns out. And people will think that about Ziyech. They'll buy him on the back of these performances.
Well, so they're good for Chelsea. They're trying to get rid of him. Yeah,
they're like a holiday romance, though, aren't they? It's that thing of effectively when you buy players just from a tournament, especially from a World Cup. It is that classic thing of that all sort of, you get back home and then it doesn't feel quite the same, really.
But I'm very much like that. I'm that sort of fan, you know. Like I remember, like, Arsenal playing the Champions League, and we'd be, you know, those halcyon days. But like, you know, we'd suddenly be playing Ludo Gretz, and they'd have one good centre back, and I'd be like, well, he's played well against. Maybe we should get him in.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get. I'm that kind of guy. Like if I'm playing, I'll buy him on FIFA if he has one good game. That's the kind of fan I am.
So Arsene Wenger's been in the news. Nowadays he's working for FIFA.
Always I'm very, very happy when he comes back in the news, I must say. But no, go on. You had a question for me. Yes.
Yeah, so you can. So Arsene, yeah, you seemed you were able to dust him down then, Luke, when he's back in the nation's consciousness. It's fantastic.
Yes. Well, of course, you know, I very much like there to be a World Cup every couple of months, I must say. I presume you'd like a prediction for the game on Saturday. And look, do I think England can win? Yes. Do I think France can win? Yes. Will I give you a prediction? No. But now he made some interesting comments, didn't he? So that, yes, I think some of the teams that weren't concentrating on the political statements managed to win, which I don't know. Listen, I did not see the context, so I don't know if that is exactly what he says, but he's a very intelligent man. So look, I must say, I presume he had some sort of philosophical thing he meant, and whatever he said, I agree with, because I love Arsene Wenger.
It's funny about, you know, in the old days, he thought that, you know, there was too much football and everything, but now he's right behind the old 48 team.
Yeah,
World Cup
every
2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
amazing. He's on the FIFA dollar now. He's on the FIFA line.
Has anybody else popped up in this World Cup, Luke, that
you've got to be looking at the legs of Roy Keane. You know, you're always finding every sort of disrespectful. You know, I've been trying to watch this, trying to get involved. You know, but, you know, oh my goodness, it's like watching Strictly. You know, I found myself, like, not even getting excited about Christmas. You know, everyone's saying happy Christmas. I wouldn't be saying happy Christmas if you have a nice day on the day, you know, a little bit of turkey, a couple of presents, fine. But on the, you have to say happy Christmas when you know if you've had a happy Christmas. My goodness.
He does sound like Andy a lot of the time, I find. They said, I think Mark Pugac was saying, aren't the Senegalese drummers great, Roy? He said, they are great, but they're annoying. They're very annoying.
You're sitting in front of them. They are annoying.
Yeah.
So it reminds me, you know, when you used to get Matt Lawrence, and then you go, oh, God, another... Oh, I'm so bored. You know, you just always sound like, oh, that's a girl. Yeah, I think. I don't know. You know, like, well, like, and I feel like, Roy, if you're not enjoying it, come home. There's other people that like to be there. We get like Mika Richards. He's just loving it. It's great. You know, right? And I feel like even Gary Neville, you know, he's trying not to enjoy it so much. I think the reason Gary Neville's not enjoying it so much because he doesn't get to say Manchester United as much as he usually likes to say. Because he's the only person that can say Manchester United in one syllable. That's what I love about
Manchester United. Like most people, it's like Manchester United. Not Gary Neville. He says it at Manchester United. It's amazing. I love it.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport. We're going to talk penalty shootouts now, and we've seen a couple. Neither of them have been that good.
They weren't even as good as that.
No, certainly true of Spain last night. So let's look at why. Some of the reasons why, with the author of the definitive work on penalties, 12 Yards, The Art and Psychology of the Perfect Penalty Kick. Ben Littleton joins us once again. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, last night was an absolute shocker, wasn't it, from a Spain point of view. A few talking points came out of it, but, I mean, what have you made overall of the spot kicks in this World Cup so far?
I think it's been really interesting. As you know, the baseline figure for scored penalties is around 78%. So that's around 4 out of 5 penalties are scored in general in normal matches. This World Cup, in the group stage, that figure has gone down to 64%. So already you're seeing the pressure of playing in a World Cup. Even elite players, Lewandowski, Lionel Messi, Alphonso Davies, Salim Aldosari, stars of their team, they are missing spot kicks when the pressure is on. Now, when it comes to penalty shootouts, the figure gets even lower. I know it's a small sample. We've only seen 15 penalties. But the conversion rate in these last two shootouts has been 47%, which is so low. It means there's more chance that the goalkeeper is going to save the penalty than there is of the penalty going in. It's incredible. And this is what the pressure of a World Cup can do to a player. Yeah. It is enormous. If the players are not prepared physically and, crucially, mentally for this, this is what happens.
That pressure is ratcheted up, I think, when you're brought on to take a penalty.
I just wonder what
your take is on that. There's been a lot of talk about Callum Wilson maybe having the sort of record that would see him brought on late, and we know it with Marcus Rashford in the Euros. Last night it was Pablo Sarabia, and Luis Enrique says he now feels guilty. Didn't give him any time to get into the game prepared, and he come on cold and take a pen. I mean, are you a fan of that? What do the stats say about players just coming on to take pens?
Yeah, I am actually a fan of it. And if you look at Sarabia, his penalty record before last night is taken 16 penalties, scored 16. He had 100% record from the spot. So there's no reason that Luis Enrique should not have brought him on. You know, in the cold light of day, that feels like a good decision. And the same for Carlos Soler, who came on, scored 17 penalties out of 19. So it's an 89% conversion rate. These guys are coming on and they're good at penalties. Now, the one thing is, as you say, they might be too cold. They're not used to the ball, the pitch, the turf, all this stuff. And I think in that case, maybe give them more than 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe they need at least 15. But in my experience of speaking to players who are on the bench and are good at penalties, they want to come on. They want to make a difference. They feel they can. And I guess maybe they need a bit of warming up because the pressure is a little bit greater on them. But I think there's no reason not to consider bringing on substitutes, especially to take a penalty.
Do you do what we do at home? I certainly do this. Basically, try and, as the bloke's going, I go, nah, he's going to miss.
Well, based on the body language?
Just based on the way they look. They look really fearful, if they look confident. You know, I think you can often tell. You know, I'm not always right 100%, but often am right.
I'm sure you are, Andy. I'm exactly the same. And I think that's one of the reasons why we love penalties so much. It is human drama played out in front of us. It's football at its most elemental state, just a ball, a goal, a shooter and a goalkeeper. So it's really like the raw elements of football. And there's this human drama because every player who was good enough to play at this stage of a World Cup, my God, really should be scoring a free shot from 12 yards, right? This is the elite of the game we are now watching. But they're finding it so difficult. There's so much pressure on them. It's so many barriers to their mental blocks that are in their way, which makes it so compelling to watch. And the things I look out for when I'm looking at a player is, are they looking at the referee? That means they're nervous. Or are they looking at the ball? That means they're in control. And of course, their reaction time. Because traditionally, England players had the quickest reaction time to the referee blowing the whistle of all nations. And one of the things that Gareth Southgate has done is worked on this. I mean, I think Gareth Southgate's greatest gift to the nation as a coach, regardless of whether he ever wins a trophy or not, is to get rid of this penalty hoodoo. Because I believe that even though we lost the Euros last summer, England should no longer fear penalties in the way that they used to. Because now Southgate has said, this is something that is in your control. You can prepare for it. And penalties are a trainable skill that can be improved. And from that respect, England have as good a chance as any in a shootout. In fact, I think there is no team better prepared at this World Cup for a shootout than England. So I would not be worried if England got to a shootout at any point in this tournament. I should also add that after France lost in the Euros on penalties last year, Didier Deschamps said that penalties are a lottery. And Hugo Lloris has said you can't train for penalties. Now, these are things that I was hearing England coaches say 10, 20 years ago. So it's music to the ears of an English fan to hear them say that.
Are you blast it or place it? Because for me, when they take that two-step run-up, you always think, oh, don't do that. Just put your foot through it. It's much harder to save, I think.
Well, you're right in some respects, but you're wrong in others. So there have been 16 penalties in open play in this World Cup. And 8 have been goalkeeper dependent, which is what Neymar does, what Lewandowski does, where they wait for the goalkeeper to make the first move. 7 of those 8 have gone in. So it is a much harder skill to do, but 7 of 8 have gone in. Now, from the other method, smash it, 8 have been taken, 4 have gone in. So actually, in the World Cup we've seen in open play, this is not in shootouts, It's more successful to wait for the keeper to move. Now, when it comes to shootouts, it's a totally different story because you're relying on players who are not regular penalty takers, right? And if they're not used to this moment of pressure, they've just got to put their foot through it. As you say, go goalkeeper independent, pick their spot and don't deviate from that. And that's, I think, something that Sergio Busquets did wrong in their shootout, Spain's shootout against Morocco. He was waiting for the goalkeeper to make the move, but he's only ever taken one penalty before in his whole career. And that was at the Euros last summer, and he missed that one as well.
Wow.
If you are a non-regular taker, do not wait for the goalkeeper to make the first move. Don't muck around with that. Put your foot through it.
Of course, if you are
Neymar or Lewandowski, you can do that.
I was going to say, of course, Morata put himself forward to take one. Captain Pihart. It's tremendous, isn't it?
Now, just on England, they've been working with these skills nets and where basically it covers the goal apart from the corners. The other thing I had Aaron Ramsdale saying, they've been taking pens without keepers because obviously all the keepers in the England setup are part of that process. They know how their own players take penalties. I'm wondering whether they kind of bring in neutral goalkeepers. Maybe they bring in academy goalkeepers from different clubs, those that don't know the techniques and don't know which way the players are going to shoot, because it was proving a bit of a problem when they were just taking them at the England keepers.
Yeah, it is interesting this. And I like the idea of taking penalties with no goalkeepers in, so you can just work on picking your spot. Other teams do it the opposite way, where they get the goalkeeper who knows the player And the player then says where they're going to aim to shoot the ball. And the challenge is for the goalkeeper to save it, even with that knowledge. Because if you as a striker know that you can score a penalty, even when the goalie knows where you're going, then that is, you know, a great advantage going into the shootout. And often we see some shootouts where in international football, the goalkeeper and the shooter are club teammates. So, for example, Hugo Lloris and Harry Kane, there is a slight advantage for the goalkeeper because he would have trained with Kane, well, for the last 12 years or however long Hugo's been there, 10 years. So he'll know his patterns and his preferences. However, if Kane kicks it to his natural side in the right spot, even if Lloris goes the right way, he should still not be able to save that. So it'll be really interesting to see those individual matchups within the shootout.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport. Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Andy, anything you've noticed from the World Cup so far?
Well, I was intrigued by, I knew this would start with the sun and the French, I thought it would be Harry Maine in Paris, but it wasn't. They basically went to a Paris waxworks, presumably Madame Tussauds, I don't know, and draped an England hat.
Is there a French version of Madame Tussauds?
Absolutely, it's for an English person that runs it.
Yeah.
The scarf, hat and flag on Kylian Mbappe, to the delight, apparently, of expats living in the French capital, who had no idea about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
England supporters living in Paris cheered. I bet they didn't. We landed the first blow in France's own backyard ahead of Saturday. No, you didn't. Yesterday, this was the best one. They said there was more bad news for France yesterday as the 23-year-old Mbappe missed training with a suspected ankle injury, sparking fears he could miss the last eight clash. He won't.
No, he's back training today. That's the good news.
It was brilliant,
of course,
wasn't it?
For everybody. But I can just imagine you at home at sort of 7 o'clock in the morning when you're looking at those and you're reading again. But he didn't. It hasn't.
It's exactly what I did.
It wasn't. Yeah, you're sitting
because
there,
ludicrous.
Talking to yourself.
It's absolute nonsense, isn't it? All of it. But they always do it.
Well, the other theme, of course, has been the importance of Chesney Hawkes to England's run.
So,
he sang at half time. We've been bringing you this in the podcast, but kept you up to date with Chesney's mercy dash from Butlins in Skegness back to Qatar to make it for a kickoff the other night against Senegal. Thankfully he did, which is obviously why England won. Gareth Southgate deserves no credit for that at all. They have gone completely route one in the sun now. Lucky mascot Chesney Hawkes aims to give World Cup rivals France the hump by belting out the one and only on a camel.
Yeah. And then had to say, which is unusual for a tabloid, they had to say one and only again. They said, and the one and only singer went further.
Yes.
Don't say that again. But I like the best one quote in this story was camel owner Ali Hussein, 32.
Yes.
Chesney's a great guy, he says. He can come and ride my camel again anytime he wants.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he did.
Camel owner Ali Hussein, 32. Did he really say that? I'm not going to give a sure he did.
It's incredible.
Yes.
But there you go. So I did poo-poo that.
Andy, I've got a story you may have noticed. This was cows could be given, it's not World Cup related, cows could be given self-charging Fitbit-like gadgets. Have you heard about this?
No.
To help farmers keep track of their movements, Chinese researchers create a device that straps to the cow's ankle or neck and uses their constant movement to recharge the battery. But my slight worry was, you got a cow wearing a Fitbit and it stands up and the other cow says, what are you standing up for? It says, well, Fitbit just told me to stand up. You know,
yeah.
They're like, and he says, well, how are people going to know whether it's going to rain or not? If you're, well, that's not my problem. Not my problem.
That's
I'm just standing
true.
Up. I've got a Fitbit. As if cows could talk, of course. Yeah.
And, of course, the usual letters have been written to the tabloids. And there's a chap in Birmingham called Sid Vaughan. Sometimes he's St. Vaughan. And he's consistent. I'll say that about him.
Consistently what?
Terrible.
Okay.
And do we need the World Cup TV pundits, he says. All these ex-footballers on a jolly. Why the £2,500 plus a night hotel when they could watch from a TV studio? Gary Lineker and his pals are laughing at us.
I don't think they are, Sid.
They are, really.
I don't think they all sit in the bar yeah. and have a little 5-minute laugh at old Sid Vaughan. Ludicrous, now, we shouldn't forget the cricket. The cricket returns on Friday. Oh, yeah. And we did have a chat with Alex Tudor on the podcast, a man who loves his football and, of course, former England fast bowler. It was a brilliant performance. And the second test starts on Friday. We may touch on that tomorrow. But Steve Smith would like to come over and play a bit of county championship cricket to prepare for the Ashes.
No, don't let him.
Yeah, don't let him. I think that was my immediate reaction. No. Let's hope there's no takers.
It's always a mistake. And he doesn't need that. He knows how to bat in England, I'm sure. Yeah. Martin wrote to the Daily Star.
Who's Martin?
I don't know.
Okay.
He wrote today, he said, never mind Chesney Hawks. Hmm. Surely Ant Middleton is the man to give a rousing pre-match speech. He'd probably injure the whole team.
Yeah, imagine that, getting them back. He wouldn't want them at half-time if it wasn't going well. Yeah, sorry about that, Gareth. Maybe I was a bit heavy-handed. He's going to be out for 6 months. I know. I was just so angry after that first half. But a headlock maybe was pushing it. He drifted out of consciousness. Well, I do apologise, Gareth. I'll leave now.
Jeremy Clarkson said that being a referee is the worst job in the world. I don't think it is myself. You run around constantly in a cauldron of hatred, which is mostly directed
at you. What a band
they
were.
Tonight's session. And in a year, you will earn maybe £100,000, which is what the players get every 20 minutes.
Yeah, £1,000 a year.
£100,000 a year.
Oh, £100,000 a year. Okay,
we said £1,000 a year. Probably about average, but maybe possibly a bit more. But even so, I mean, the one thing the referees do is they love football, and if you love football, where better to be than right in the middle of it?
Yeah.
You know, so
a few of them will be heading home, as we know from our visit to the ref's hotel in 2014 in Brazil. Nervy times, aren't they? To see who's going to get the gig. I mean, some of them will just be, they'll know straight away, won't they? Whether they're going to make the cut or not. Must be quite difficult.
If Anthony Taylor's still there.
Well, I mean, yeah, if England get to the final, that'll do for him, wouldn't it? He won't be able to...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That would be... Or Michael Oliver, they're both still there, aren't they?
Have they had the same amount of games? They don't seem to have done a lot of games to me. I think Taylor's done a couple. I think Michael Oliver's probably only done one game.
I don't quite know why that is. I wonder if our lack of VAR people has made a difference to the amount of games they could do. But, I mean, that's
hasn't made a difference to the quality of the VAR.
No, the quality of the VAR has not been stunning.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
I'm afraid, Andy, one of your repertoire, your very small repertoire of impressions is basically just saying, yeah, Eddie Jones.
I know, Eddie Jones.
And
is gone.
You're not going to be able to do that for much longer, are you?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the act. That's 50% of the act.
He
gone.
Did well to last as long as he did. I mean, the results have been terrible, haven't they, really? Yeah. So it wasn't a big surprise.
You're going to have to brush up on your Steve Borthwick. if you weren't able to listen to the Back Home podcast, then you won't know that adding to the list of Australian impressions where you basically just say the person's name was the Australian football coach Graham Arnold.
Yeah.
Who was, I say, quite gruff, wasn't he? He was I found myself just wandering around going, Graham Arnold! Quite aggressively. But that's it. That's all I've got. I can't do any more than that. And even that's not particularly good. Jim Shelley said, it sounds remarkably like you're Tyson Fury.
Well, that's true.
I don't think it does, personally.
I managed to find a bit of Peter Warne that was really surprising. It's he's talking about the challenge by Wojciech Szczesny on Lionel Messi. And he actually said it was ridiculous.
Wow.
I know, it's not like Peter, is it?
No, let's bring Peter Warne in here. If he was like a genie, that would be marvellous, wouldn't it? So whenever you said the words, let's bring Peter Warne in here, he just walked through the door. And grant you 3 wishes, but not necessarily in that outfit, still in the referee's gear. Never going to happen.
But
anyway.
News of the Duke of Kent.
But pardon?
News of the Duke of Kent.
Go on then.
The Royal Circle.
I think I know what's coming, but there
well, we are. He's patron of the Tree Council, planted a commemorative tree in the gardens, and of course he's hoping for a return to wooden rackets.
Yes, of course he is. Then wouldn't that involve cutting trees down?
Oh yeah, that's very true.
He's a big tennis fan, in case you were wondering.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
There we are. That was the best of today's show. As we said, we're back in the Talk Sports studio. You'll be able to download the Back Home podcast. And then on Friday, as we said, we will be podcast only just for the one day, returning to the Talk Sports studios for the foreseeable from Monday. Don't forget, we'll have the Clips of the Week podcast for you on Friday as well. But for now, thanks for listening.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.